Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Let the Bible Speak program. We always appreciate your interest in Bible matters. And if you have your Bible and would like to follow along, I would encourage you to turn to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to look at the walls of Jericho falling down as we continue our series of great Bible stories. And we're glad that you're with us, and we hope that our lessons today will be beneficial and helpful to all who listen. In Joshua chapter 6, of course, we have the children of Israel. They have come out of Egypt. They have come through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. They've crossed over the Jordan River, and now they are beginning their conquest of Canaan. And they will, at the end of that, be given the promised land that God gave them, a land of rest and promise. And so, in the beginning of the book of Joshua, the children of Israel cross the Jordan River, and in Joshua chapter 6, we have the beginning of many cities that will be conquered and many peoples that will be conquered as the Israelites go throughout the land and possessing their promised land. In Joshua chapter 6, of course, we read about the fall of Jericho. And I'd like for us to read this account and hopefully gain some lessons for us today. We're going to find that conquering sin in our lives today is accomplished in similar ways as the Israelites conquered the city of Jericho. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 6 then, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, Joshua 6 verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all the men of war, going about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the covenant. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Jehovah. And they said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let the armed men pass on before the ark of Jehovah. And it was so, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before Jehovah passed on and blew the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of Jehovah followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the rearward went after the ark, blowing the trumpets as they went. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. So he caused the ark of Jehovah to compass the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of Jehovah, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Jehovah went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, and the rearward came after the ark of Jehovah, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early at the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for Jehovah hath given you the city, and the city shall be devoted, even it and all that is therein, to Jehovah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the devoted thing, lest when you have devoted it, you take of the devoted thing. So would you make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are holy unto Jehovah. They shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, both young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now we'll stop right there, and we'll come back in just a minute and finish the rest of that account. So we have the great Bible story of the walls of Jericho falling down flat. Archaeologists in the 1960s, Kathleen Kenyon and others, surveying that area and digging up the area of Jericho that had been put under dirt and rubble for hundreds and thousands of years, found the walls that would match the period of Joshua here in his conquest. And there was evidence of the account of this story, the walls falling down. There was evidence of fire burning and destruction of Jericho. So we have archaeological evidence that matches this time period and the fall of this city. But we're interested in the how of it and some lessons that we can learn from it. The first lesson that I would like for us to learn this morning from this great historical account is that Jericho was conquered by grace through faith. By grace through faith. The Israelites could not have done any of this without God. So it was by grace, by God's grace. But God did not give Jericho into the hands of the Israelites without them doing something themselves. And so it was by their faith, by grace through faith. First of all, notice that it was by grace. In verse 2, the text says, Jehovah said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men thereof. They would not be able to do it without God. And so it was by God's grace. But he gave them a plan that they had to follow in detail. There were details in this plan. Walking around the city once a day, on the seventh day, walking around seven times, blowing the trumpets, shouting. There was a particular detail even in the procession, with the ark going first and the priest before and after it, the people following, details about the procession, details about what they're supposed to do each day, and they were to follow those. They were to follow the commands. They were to do as was commanded. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the people. And we need to understand, friends, that today salvation from sin and our conquering of sin, if you will, is accomplished in the same way, by grace through faith. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, that we are saved by grace through faith. We're saved by grace in that God provides the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. He provided Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross. He provided through the Holy Spirit the message, the gospel revealed by which we can learn about the cross. He provided the plan. He provided the person who would die We're saved by grace. We cannot be saved without grace. Grace is favor, blessing, love. And God gave Jericho. I have given into thy hand Jericho. He gave it to them by grace, by blessing and favor. There was nothing that they had done to merit that. But, and here's the big but, the contrast, the rest of the story, that is, Israel needs to do that and receive that gift by faith. I have given you. It's a gift. But they, by faith and through faith, must obey the commands to receive the gift. And so God saves us by His grace, by sending His Son on the cross, but we must obey the commands in order to receive the gift of that grace. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ and confess that with our mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we must repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We must continue living faithfully thereafter and worshiping God. There are things that we must do on the first day of the week to come together to worship. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning in our sermon. We would invite you to come and hear that. Come to our Bible class at 9:30. We're studying the book of Exodus. Come to our worship service at 10:30. There are people today that don't want to assemble anymore for worship. They want cyber church, online church, digital church. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. So, living faithfully after we are baptized into Christ, and that includes worshiping God on Sundays. Are you doing that, friend? But the first lesson that we learn is that we are saved by grace through faith. And God has always done that from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve, all the way up until today, and all the way until He sends His Son again. It will always be that way, by grace through faith. They could not have taken Jericho without God giving it to them. They could not have received that gift unless they had followed the commandments and the details and the steps that they were supposed to take. And the writer of the book of Hebrews references this very thing. If you'll just hold your hand there in Joshua chapter 6, we're going to come back to that in just a minute to finish the account. But if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer, looking back to this day, brings this up in a whole long list and line of individuals who have done things by faith. We find that this story is mentioned in verse 30, Hebrews 11, 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. By faith. Notice when you read Hebrews chapter 11, when you read these statements, by faith, you'll see a verb associated with it, a verb of action. Faith is not faith only. Faith is not... In fact, James says that faith without works is dead. James 2, 24 through 26. Not just any kind of works. There are some works that Paul talks about. Works of the law, for example. The old law that do not save. Religious man has lumped all works together. Faith or belief is a work of God. We read that in John chapter 6. Not all works are bad. Not all works are to be avoided. Some are, but not all. works that God wants us to do are associated with obeying His commandments. And faith has a work that goes with it, an obedience, an action. And so in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about. There's your verb. There's your action. By faith, they were compassed about. The very next verse, by faith Rahab the harlot perished not with them that were disobedient. Here's your verb, having received the spies with peace. She had to do something. Faith does something. On your own time, go back through this great chapter on faith from the very beginning, and you'll see how that faith is associated with action. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. There's your action. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and so forth. Go down through the chapter and you'll notice that. Faith acts. And notice in Hebrews 11 and verse 30 that the walls fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. The Israelites had to do what God told them to do. The walls didn't fall down by faith only, or by just mentally believing that God would do that. They had to go around the city once each day, and on the seventh day, do it 7 times and blow the trumpets. And the other things that they were told to do in the way that they were told to do it. They fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. So their part was absolutely necessary. Well, somebody says, well, you're emphasizing works over God's grace. No, we're keeping them the same, by grace through faith. And to demonstrate and show that we're not taking away from God in any kind of way, look at this account. The text says, back in here in Hebrews chapter 11 and back in Joshua 6, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been compassed about for 7 days. The walls of Jericho fell down. And in Joshua chapter 6, they fell flat. And the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city. Fell down right in its place. To emphasize the grace of God, let us remind ourselves that nothing that the Israelites did physically could make those walls fall down. You can march around walls all day long and they're not going to fall down. You can yell and shout and blow trumpets all day long and walls are not going to fall down. This was the miraculous power of God that caused this. These are very thick walls. We're not talking about a wall that's a foot thick, and it started to fall down because the Israelites were marching on the ground, and maybe the ground was vibrating a little bit, and when the trumpets were blown, that there was vibration in the air, and the wall started to wobble a little bit and fall down. These are thick walls of stone, and they fall down flat. That's by the power of God. And nothing physically that the Israelites did to make them fall down. God made those walls fall down, but the Israelites had to first do what God told them to do. The walls fell down after they followed God's commandments. And so it is truly by grace through faith. Truly, it was given to them by God. And the miraculous bringing down of those walls demonstrates that. But it was by faith or through faith in that they had to obey. And that's the way it is today. So let us, by grace through faith, be saved from sin and our obedience to the gospel. And if we can help you do that, we want to help you do that. Let's get together and study. Let's learn how to do that. Let's do that before it's too late. Turn back with me now to Joshua chapter 6, and let's finish the account starting in verse 22. And Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house, this is Rahab's house, and bring out from there the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her. And the young men, the spies, went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, and all that she had, and all her kindred also they brought out, and they set them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, in archaeological discoveries, the level of debris that would match this time period has stones that are burnt. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. But Rahab the harlot and her father's house and all that she had did Jehovah save alive, and she dwelt in the midst of Israel unto this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. And remember back in Hebrews 11:31, she did that by faith. And again, an act of faith. She hid them. She also did what the spies told her to do to be saved. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And Joshua charged them with an oath at that time, saying, cursed be the man before Jehovah that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn shall he lay the foundation thereof, and with the loss of his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So Jehovah was with Joshua, and his name was in all the land. There's three things I want to mention before we close this morning to round out this account. Number one, I want to talk just a little bit about Rahab the harlot. She was saved because she followed the instructions of these two spies. And that was that she was to put a scarlet cord out of her house, out of her window, and she was to stay in the house. Turn back to Joshua chapter 2. There were some conditions that she had to meet in order to be saved, and she met those conditions, and so she was saved. There's a lot of people today that say that salvation is unconditional. You don't do anything to be saved. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, that right there is one thing that you would need to do. People say you don't need to do anything, and then they turn right around and tell you at least one thing you need to do. In fact, there are other things you need to do to be saved and that I need to do. There are conditions that need to be met. And look, in order for Rahab and her family to be saved, look back at chapter 2 and verse 18. Look at the conditions that she had to meet. It wasn't unconditional salvation. She had to meet these conditions. Joshua 2:18. Behold, these are the spies talking to Rahab. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, condition number one, which you did let us down by. And thou shalt gather unto thee in thy house thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house. And it shall be that whosoever shall go in out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. But if thou utter this our business, when we shall be guiltless of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so let it be. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Condition number one, put the scarlet line out the window. Condition number two, get everybody in your house and don't let anybody go out. And condition number three, don't utter this to anybody. She followed the conditions and she was saved. God's plan of salvation always has conditions that must be met. Those were hers, and we have ours that I mentioned earlier with regard to belief and confession, repentance and baptism, and living faithfully each day. The second thing I'd like to notice here is that in verse 24, the Israelites put the spoils of war, they put that into the treasury. But we know from the next chapter that there was one man who was named Achan, and he actually took some things that he wasn't supposed to, and he hid them in his tent. And that's the very thing that caused Israel to be defeated when they went up to the very next city. When they went and tried to conquer the city of Ai, they were defeated, and they were smitten back. And Joshua is wondering why this happened, and when you read the whole chapter that you can do on your own time, you'll find that it was because Achan had taken some things. Chapter 7 and verse 20, when Achan is found out, "I have sinned against Jehovah, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoil a goodly Babylonian mantle, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." And of course, later they are stoned for that. They disobeyed. God's word is to be taken very seriously. Back in chapter 6, in verse 18 and 19, keep yourselves from the devoted things. You don't just go through town and take whatever you want. These things are to be devoted unto God and given into the treasury, which would later support the priesthood and other things involving the treasury of God. This was disobeyed by one man and his family, and that affected all of Israel. God takes sin very seriously, and sin can hurt us and others around us. And so when that sin is taken and removed out of the camp, when that family is stoned, then in chapter 8, when they go up against Ai again, they are victorious, of course. And then the last lesson that I want us to consider this morning before we close is, come back to Joshua chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. He said that Jericho was not to be rebuilt. And if somebody tried to rebuild it, they are going to lose their child. Well, what's interesting about this is that actually happened. If you turn forward a few hundred years to 1 Kings chapter 16, we come all the way down a few hundred years after this account in the days of the evil king Ahab. Look at 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. "In the days of Ahab did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof with the loss of Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun." The last lesson is that God's word always comes true, regardless of how many years have passed. And so when God says things today in the New Testament, even though 200 years have passed, they are still true for us today. We need to take God's word very seriously, and Hiel learned that the hard way. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and we appreciate your time and attention. We hope these lessons will be helpful for you, and we hope that you'll have a good day and tune in next week.